good to be in church this morning. Praise the Lord.
Where would you rather be? Amen. Make sure you pray this this next week for our buses. The one bus had a little issue mechanically over this last week, and working on trying to fix that. Pray that we get that all buttoned up and run those. We had a little bit of a difficult time running the buses this morning. They ran them. Praise the Lord. They worked through it. One of those buses is down with a mechanical issue that will soon be rectified. Those are boogers on the weekends. Boy, they always seem to happen right on the weekends. The Lord knows all about it, and the Lord took care of us this morning and got it done. So praise the Lord for that. Lord knows all about it. Obviously, it wasn't supposed to run, and the Lord will take care of it. Praise the Lord. But take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to 1 Peter 1:16. Just a little bit of a review before we move on. Just a little bit of a review. First Peter 1:16, and we're just going to move right on with this. As we talked about last week some, holiness preaching is not a very popular preaching in churches because people don't like to hear about it. They don't like to hear about being holy. They don't like to hear about doing right. They don't like to hear about things that they need to change in their lives. But to be real honest with you, Bethel, if we want to move forward as Christians individually, your personal life individually, you need to look at this verse and understand this is talking to you. And if you look at this verse in 16, 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And it says those things to you personally. When you're talking about learning about the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're talking about learning about the things of the Holy Spirit, I can't learn them for you. You can't learn them for me. Every single person has got to learn them for themselves. And I'm not talking about you learning what you decide to learn, or you learn those things that you think is right, and you look at the Bible and you interpret it the way you want to interpret it. That's not what the Bible's saying there. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy is not a word that's up for grabs. Whatever you think it should be, that's what it is. That's not true at all. And I hear this a lot. People say, well, the Bible is written specifically, and I look at it, and I draw out of it what I want to draw out of it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible never makes that statement. The Bible never says that you can think of it whatever you want. The Bible says the Scriptures are of no private interpretation. Now, that leads you a couple things. That's a good cover, because when it says to be holy, the Bible explains how to do that. Okay? The Bible just doesn't say, Brother Mike, be holy, and then not tell you how. Okay, which is great, because we need to learn how to do this. We need to learn how to clean our lives up. We need to learn how to do, and I'm going to tell you this next couple of weeks, talking about the works of the Holy Spirit, to get these things, to understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to do through our lives, we've got to clean up a lot of what's in our lives to let the Holy Spirit work. Okay? And that's not an easy task. Don't think for one minute I'm going to stand up here and tell you I've got myself all cleaned out of all the things I need to clean out. That's just not true. And if you'd be honest with yourself, neither do you. But we can work towards that way. We can work towards those things, looking at these verses and allowing the Scripture to work through us, allowing the Scripture to teach us, allowing the Scripture to mold us. We can do those things if we will do our best to look at the Scripture and read it for what it is. Don't try to make it different in your, well, the preacher said this, but this is how I see it. Okay? Read the Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. I promise you, the Holy Spirit will tell you the same thing it's telling your preacher. Don't act like the preacher's got some special intellect that you don't have. That's just not true. The Holy Spirit works through you just like it works through me, and the Holy Spirit can reveal to you the things of the Lord just like it can reveal to anybody else. And it doesn't, and this is why I say that. The reason I say that is this. Don't rely on don't rely just on the preachers teaching you or the seminars teaching you. Don't rely on that. Rely on you getting into your Bible and you reading your Bible and you getting out of that Bible what you're supposed to get out of that Bible. And the Holy Spirit will direct you in the correct way if you allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. If the Bible gives this thought or gives this command to us, I don't see that there's any try to be holy. I don't see any do your best to be holy. I see be ye holy. And if it says that, you can be. Amen? The Bible's not going to give you a suggestion. The Bible's telling you this is what you need to do. If you look at the verse beforehand, look at verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So that's an ability that we have. Amen? Not easy. Not easy at all. What's your conversation? That's your life. That's your lifestyle. That's what you do with your life. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Not just in what you say, but in what you do. Amen? We're trying to figure out why in the world, if you want to figure out why we're studying about the Holy Spirit and why we're taking so much time here, understand this. You go back 2 weeks in this church house and you saw the Holy Spirit move in a magnanimous way. Okay, if you didn't see that, something's the matter with you. Okay? When man stepped out of the way and the Holy Spirit did the preaching. Okay? That's what happened. Say what you want to say. That's what happened. When you get run down by people coming to the altar and you've got to scamper up here to get out of the way, that's the Holy Spirit doing the preaching. When the Holy Spirit prods you so much, you've got to get up and get out of your seat and you've got to go down to the altar, praise the Lord. Inside of each and every one of you that morning was the Holy Spirit just moving you in such a way that you could not sit. Here's the problem I have. Why is that the first time in years that the Holy Spirit's moved us? Me too. Don't think I'm coming after you. That's not true. I'm coming after me too. Why is it that that's the first time in a long time? We've had it a couple of times in the last month or so where invitations, literally, you cannot stop. You've got to get up and you've got to move. And you say, well, is that the gauge of the Holy Spirit moving or not moving? Sure it is. Say what you want to say. That's what it is. The gauging of the Holy Spirit is when you can't deny Him anymore. You can't say no to Him anymore. You can't sit in your seat anymore. You don't look pretty enough. You're not embarrassed. You don't care. You've got to get up and you've got to go talk to the Lord. You've got to get down to this altar. Be ye holy, for I am holy. For that moment in time, we said to the world, get out. For that moment in time, we said, I'm not going to worry about the cares of this world. I'm going to cast all of them on the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord take care of the cares of this world. For that moment in time, you are in and out of yourself. And you said, you know what? All I'm going to do is obey the Holy Spirit. And you got up and walked out. Here's the problem. Did we take ourselves back with us throughout the rest of the week? See, and don't think for 1 minute that that's an oddity. That happens almost every time you go to the altar, doesn't it? Let's be honest. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. Let's be honest. We get the Holy Spirit, and I'm not talking about the touchy-feely. I'm not talking about that. The Holy Spirit's always inside of you, but it's amazing how often we clutter up the insides of us with so much junk that we wouldn't hear the Holy Spirit if he had a megaphone. But that morning, we let the world go away. We let the world go away, and we weren't going to be denied. And so the altar was packed out. That's when you know the Holy Spirit's here. Now, there's times when the Holy Spirit's moving in a wonderful way and nobody comes to the altar, but, well, I tell you what, I don't know too many. And as we look at these scriptures, I want to challenge you with these things. I want to let us understand holiness and what is opposite of holiness. It's amazing how the Lord tells us, be ye holy. But that's the only thing he wants us to be. Be ye holy. Everything else comes off of this. Be ye holy. Be ye holy. Be ye holy. That's what it tells us. And when you stop getting holiness preaching, I worry about the preacher. And like I admitted to you before, I didn't like holiness preaching because I didn't want to be holy. Don't preach on my sin, preacher. That's why Joel Osteen packs 185,000 people into his church house because he knows he's never going to talk about what they're doing wrong. See, I'm preaching to you because the Lord's already preached to me. He's already told me I've done wrong. The problem is you look at me with your cross-eyed and your crunched down lip like this and be mad and nobody comes, but you know I'm right. I just want to make babe made to feel good. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. The reason you don't feel good is because we're not seeking the Lord enough. Now, come on now, be with me. Don't you run out on me. The reason that we don't feel good is because, and by the way, I don't want the worldly, fleshly feeling good, by the way. I felt good before when I was in the world. But that only lasts for a moment. Joy that the Lord gives can last as long as you'd have it to last. Now, as we look at these scriptures, I want you to look quickly in Ezekiel chapter 22. What in the world then, turn all the way back to Ezekiel, what in the world then is the difference? Ezekiel's right next to Lamentations. And this is about where we're at in this world today in the church houses. But I want to show you what the difference is. There's two ways. Boy, that's just the way it always is. Heaven or hell, you are, you aren't, saved or not. I mean, just the Lord, it's always this way, okay? If you look at this in verse 26 of chapter 22 of Ezekiel, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. That gives you the two avenues right there. It's either holy or it's profane. Look at this now. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Be ye holy, for I am holy. If you're not, you're profane. Take it up with the Bible. Take it up with the Lord. I'll give you a good example. When the Catholics sprinkle babies, that's taking something that's holy and making it profane. That's not what God has set up. When you take a preacher and have him stand up here and say there's no difference between the inspired Word of God and the Word of God, there's a problem. That's making holy profane. And I do take it that seriously. I'm not going to allow a guy to come in here and say that, well, I'm a King James user, and then tear it up. That's making something holy profane. The scriptures call themselves holy over and over and over again throughout the Bible. They are holy. Everything we have is based upon this. This is the one thing that must be holy. If it's not holy, then we've made it profane. If we've made it profane, then what really do we have? Profanity. So if you look at these things, the Bible specifically is telling us that if it's not holy, then it must be profane. If it is that way, we talk about the scriptures. I'll prove it to you. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'll just give you a couple examples real quick. Romans chapter 1, verse 2. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the what? What scriptures? The holy scriptures. He didn't use the NIV. He went to the holy scriptures. But by the way, there's only one set of scriptures at all. Everything else is words. Scriptures are specific. God writings. That's what they are. God's writings. I get a little chill up my spine when people say Moses wrote the first five books. I have a hard time with that. You know why? Moses didn't write the first five books. Okay? And I understand why they say it. Moses penned them. But he didn't write them. God wrote them. If Moses was writing about himself, would he have showed all of his shortcomings? Come on, if I'm writing a book about myself, I'm going to tell you how great I am. It'll be a short story. Maybe even just a poem. But I'm going to tell you, nonetheless, you look at these, the Bible calls itself holy. Now I want you to look over at 2 Timothy 3 real quick. 2 Timothy 3, and I'm not going to, good Lord have mercy, I feel like we need to open up the Bible Institute again just to teach some basic doctrinal classes again. But if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make, look at this now. Now, you need to be very careful when you go out soul winning. I want you to understand and see what the Bible says. Not what you say, not what everybody else says, not what your little fuzzy-wuzzy preachers say. I want you to see what the Bible says. Do you have it open? I don't make this stuff up. Look at what the Bible says. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Which Scriptures? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You read what that says and tell me you can get saved apart from the Word of God. You read that and you tell me you've got to take that verse out to let me believe that you can lead somebody to Christ because of your testimony. You better take that verse out of the Bible if you believe that you can go to somebody's house, knock on their door, and tell them, you know, I got saved when I was a little kid, you ought to also. You better get out the Bible. You better get out the Bible. It's amazing to me. God paid it all, Brother Bill. He's taken it all, cross and everything. But when it comes time to cash in on the salvation, the Lord doesn't need to be there. His words don't have to be. He paid everything else, but his words don't need to be there. When in the world did we get so full of ourselves that we think that we've got something to offer when it comes to salvation? When did we get so full of ourselves that we think, Brother Mike, that we've got the story that will lead somebody to Christ? We don't have the story. He's got the story. If he paid it all, then why shouldn't he just keep paying? Think about that for a minute. I get the real big kick out. The going concern today, and you better watch out now. I can't even reiterate that. You say you're always hammering on the Bible. Do you know why I'm always hammering on it? Because we're losing it. Get mad at me all you want to. We're losing it. And people that are much smarter than I are going out every day and saying it's okay to take your NIV out soul winning. All across the country. Independent, fundamental Baptist churches are saying it's okay to take the NIV out soul winning. Now, if you tell me that the NIV is the Word of God, you haven't been in this church very long. But they're saying it's okay to take that out soul winning. The only way I take the NIV out soul winning is if somebody needs a fire later on. What does this say? What does the Bible say when it says, so then faith cometh by, and hearing by what? A word of God? A? One of the words of God? Take your pick, the closest you can get, word of God. Get mad at me all you want to, Bethel, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to come down off the King James Bible as the pure, holy, inspired word of God. And I'm not going to go out sowing without a copy in my hand because I'm not good enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not brilliant enough. I need the Word of God according to the Word of God. Yeah. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Yeah. And that from a child, verse 15. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. I'm not able. I'm not able. The Holy Scriptures, not just a word, the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Well, there it is, Brother Dave. All you have to do is have faith in Jesus Christ. I'm right with you. Praise the Lord. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the testimony of Brother Dave. Hearing by the Word of God. All Scripture. I want you to see that. There's only one Scripture. You say, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Does that mean the NIV is given by the inspiration of God? No, because the NIV is not Scripture. You're just splitting hairs. That's just full of semantics, really. Because let me explain something to you. I believe it's all my heart. I had a debate out in the parking lot with a pretty well-known, you'd know who it is if I told you. I've had lots of them, but this most recent one. He said, I believe you can lead somebody to Christ with the RSV. Independent fundamental Baptist preacher. He says, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And by the way, he was going to ask a missionary that you'd know. I looked him in the eye and says, so let me ask you a question, brother. You're going to go to another man to decide? You're going to take him as your authority? I said, here, hold on a second. Let me grab my Bible and let me get a real authority here. Because you're not an authority. He's not an authority. I'm not an authority. But this is the authority. And if I read this and I'm just a dumb hick, I'd just rather, and I'll be honest with you, I'd rather stay stupid. I'd rather stay stupid, Brother Bill, and just believe that this is. I'd rather stay stupid and just read what this says. I'd rather stay stupid and not try to investigate and not try to break it apart. I'd rather stay stupid and say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning the Scripture is inspired of God. And is profitable. So the Scripture is also profitable. Profitable for what? For doctrine. What are we learning about the Holy Spirit? We're learning doctrine. If it isn't in here, then I can't teach it to you. Amen? Look at this. Let's keep going. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. If you go to a brother or sister in Christ and you don't take Scripture with you, don't go. Because it's not profitable that you go. But if you bring Scripture with you and you can help somebody with Scripture, Brother Mike always says, well, I read a verse a day. I didn't want to change, but the Scripture changed me. Let me tell you something. It'll change you too. Why do you think we got the Bible calendars out? You keep reading that word, it'll make you different, whether you like it or not. It's not me. It's not the calendar. It's the word. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How do we get righteous? Get inside the manual. Let's start reading what it's got to say. Where aren't you lining up? Not that hard. Where aren't you lining up? Why aren't we going forward? Why aren't we, as I'm talking personally, I'm not talking about Bethel. I think Bethel's headed in a very good direction right now. And I'm going to be honest with you. Revival started. It's whether we stop it or not is up to us. I'm going to tell you right now, this Bible tells me for instruction in righteousness, if I want to know what to do, I get inside of it. That the man of God, well, now, okay, they're just talking about preachers. The man of God, let me just talk about preachers. I didn't know that preachers stopped being sinners. I certainly didn't. I missed the memo. I'm not going to put a big white fish hat on here and put my name in for the next pope. Because apparently he's not a sinner. I'm still a sinner. And I need to be more righteous. I need what the Bible has to give me. I'm a preacher, but that does not exempt me from what the Bible says. Amen. And if you look at this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How do we want to know how to do things that are good? Because in your flesh dwelleth what? So in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, and that's really, really disappointing. But the Lord gave us a book that helps us to learn. And if we can, it's not guidelines. These are not, I'll just use the Bible as a guideline for my life, because otherwise I am a very clean and righteous person. You're not. And this is not a guideline. This is what you do. And do your best to do it. We know that we're not going to be able to make it. We know that we're not going to be able to do everything this says. We know that. But at the very same time, I believe that we can aspire to do more than we are. And if you look at these verses, I believe it tells you how to get that holiness. How to get holy. How to realize that you need more out of life than what you've got. If I asked you to raise your hands, I would just about bet that everybody's hand would go up when they say they want to get closer to the Lord. I believe that your hand would go up when you would say to yourself, I want to do more for Christ. I don't know if you'd mean it or not, because that's a very, very big statement to make. When you want to do more for Christ, you've got to want to do less for you. And that's not easy. I'm right with you. I'm with you. See, to allow, and it all goes back to how we started. There's only two places you can be, either in the flesh or led by the Spirit. Only two places. And it's very easy to stay here. It's very easy to stay inside the flesh. It's very easy to try to please yourself, and not even in bad things. Good things, fine things, nothing wrong with them things. But at the very same time, it's amazing how we'll stay here and not grow, not get closer to the Lord. Why has your life reached a plateau of Christianity? Why? It's like a plateau of weight loss. Ever had that? Of course, I haven't in a long time. I'm reaching more like mountaintops. But ever had a plateau in anything in your life? You get to a point, I just don't seem like I'm going anywhere now. You ever get to that point? Maybe I'm the only one. Praise the Lord. I'm the only one. You guys just keep growing. I'll just stay on my plateau every once in a while. That's the way it is. I get it. Do you know what happens when you get to a plateau? You've stopped something. I don't know what it is, but you stopped something. You stopped Bible reading. I don't know. You stopped your prayer life. I don't know. Or maybe your prayer life didn't increase or your Bible reading increase. See, why do we want to read? This calendar's hard, and I don't want you to raise your hand over who's caught up, okay? It's hard, and I told you that off the bat. You started out January. Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, no proud birthday. This isn't even that hard. But if I ask you to raise your hands now in March, yeah, I'm 7 days behind. I don't know. It's difficult. Do you know why it's difficult, though? It's difficult because your flesh doesn't want to do it. Your flesh tackles you at the goal line and says, I know what you're trying to do, but I don't want you to do it. I'm going to tackle you because I don't want you to read your Bible. I don't want you to go forward. I don't want you to improve your Christianity. You're more value to me dying than you are growing. By the way, there's only two directions. You're either growing or you're dying. There's no third way. There's no plateau in your staying here. Because if you stay there, you're dying. And what's harsh in the reality is this. We've lost the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. We've lost the hunger and the thirst to do something for the Lord. We've lost the hunger and the thirst because the world is telling us it's not valuable to do things for Christ. The world is telling us just satisfy yourself. The world is telling us that it's okay to be lackluster. The world is telling us that why would you want to do what the church wants you to do? Why would you want to do what the Bible says when you can just worry about what you like? The problem is our likes have changed. Our likes used to be, I like to read my Bible. I like to pray. I like to let the Spirit guide me. Our likes changed. I like the Cleveland Indians. I like the Cleveland, I can't even say that. I like the Steelers. I like these things. And they say what you want to. I talk about the Pittsburghs. I love them. Here's the thing. If I'm behind on my Bible, I'm just using me as an example. Should I be watching the game? You got to understand something. There's nothing wrong with watching the game. But understand this. If I'm behind on my Bible calendar and I decide to watch a game instead of reading my Bible, who am I giving preeminence? Who am I? What's the Spirit saying? The Spirit's saying, go, Ben. You think the Spirit is saying, man, catch a touchdown, Mike Wallace? You think that's what the Spirit is saying? The Spirit is saying, come unto me. The Spirit is saying, read my Bible. The Spirit is saying, pray. The Spirit is saying, you're dying because there's no third direction. So I give my life, my flesh, the preeminence. Where must I be? In the flesh. That's why it's wonderful to start out first thing in the morning reading your Bible. Because who do you give first place? Why are we reaching a plateau in our Christianity? Why? And I'm going to tell you, I want you to think about this. If you go back, I'll use the preacher example now that he's here. If you use the preacher example, back when he worked at Allied Chemical, he was making 14-something an hour, working 40 hours a week. Cars used to be $3,000 back then. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think with me. The devil has done a fantastic job. I want you to think with me. How many would love to have a $14 an hour job right now? Wait a minute. I want you to think with me now because this is important to see. You would love to have a $14 an hour job. That would be a great wage. What do cars cost now? Well, let's go to the auto show and take a look at them. Here's the thing. The wages have not increased. They've gone down. You would love to have a $14 an hour job. Woohoo! Give me a $14. But now gas used to be a quarter. Now gas is 16 quarters. What you're missing is this. We say, well, it's the inflation. No, it isn't. It's the devil. I believe the devil has gotten us to where we've got to work 8,000 hours a week just to make ends meet. How many times, when's the last time you worked 40 and made it? Huh? Could you make it on 40 hours a week, just the man working? Grab a hold of that. Wrap your head around that for a minute. Wrap your head around the fact that it's no longer the man working and the woman being able to stay at home. Now the woman, if you're not a career woman, you're a dog. That's what the world is saying. The devil has split up the families. The devil has split up you. Your time is, you can't even do anything anymore. You can't even read your Bible. Are you kidding me? I've got men in this church that have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to get to work on time so they can work 8,000 hours a week just to make ends meet. 8 to 5? You guys would think you were on spring vacation if you had 8 to 5 hours. That doesn't happen anymore. See, I personally see the prince of the power of the air splitting our families wide open, getting them away from church and getting them away from holiness. And I'm not telling you to stop working. You got to work. And I hate what it is what it is. Ladies have to work now, and it's a battle that the preachers have been fighting for years, but we know we can't win. And here's what's worse. We lend yourself to the whole, are you kidding me? I'm thinking about my job tomorrow. I'm thinking about the fact that we're on strike. I'm thinking about the fact that the hours have gone down. I went from 60 to 40 and now my family can't make it. That's not your fault. That's the way the world's going to keep us away from the Lord. I believe that. Why has our Christianity come to a plateau? Because we have no time. What's more valuable than that? What's more valuable than your time? Can you get it back once you've spent it? Yet how many hours, how many minutes, how many seconds do we think about the Holy Spirit? How many hours, how many seconds, how many minutes do we think about His Word? Why? Why can't the Holy Spirit work anymore, preacher? Why? He's got no time. See, we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Boy, it's quiet in here this morning. To be led by the Holy Spirit, He's not going to jerk you out of this pit by your neck. And I'm not saying that making a wage for your family is living in the flesh. Don't you dare say that to me. You must make a wage for your family. You must. You must. But when we get home, after working a day, and what do we have at home? Work. And that's nothing wrong with that. But when the family meeting at the table for dinner, come on now. I bet you some of you lived that life. You older folk. I bet you some of you had a family dinner table where you gathered the family around the table and had a moment where you could recognize each other's faces. Anymore. I didn't grow up that way personally. I didn't grow up that way. Until I got here, I didn't grow up that way where family mattered. My family was just distant. We just were. That's the way the Ballard tradition is. We just distant. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Of course, we were poor. We were really poor. But maybe a peanut butter sandwich or a jelly sandwich or just bread. But we didn't eat together. And we grew up and grew distant. And here we are, Christian families that never see each other. Christian families, we become so distant. We become so, it's not that we don't care. It's that we do care. And we need to support our family. And I hope you're understanding where my heart is here. I'm not bashing anybody. I'm telling you the circumstances that be are this. We have gotten to a point in our lives where the Holy Spirit has become irrelevant because everything else has become so relevant. Amen? We've got to find time for the Holy Spirit in our day. We've got to find time to read this Bible. We've got to find time. Sit down at your table in the morning with your cup of coffee and just read some. Well, I don't have time to complete the Bible calendar. You think I'm going to get mad at you? I told you it was hard. But good Lord, have mercy. At least read a verse. Good Lord, have mercy. Have this Bible in a place of preeminence in your home where you can tell the world, you may have my time, but you can't have my words. I am going to do whatever I can to make sure that I read this Bible every day. We're not going to change. We're not going to grow. We're not going to get better unless we let this word get through us and in us. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 2:10. We're going to look a little bit now, getting into the next subject. I'm going to stop at verse 10. I'm going to read the first 9 verses as well. I hope you understand. Boy, I this is almost depressing. Me too. Where you work so much, but you get home and you're dead dog tired. And let me help you out a little bit. I'll use Bob as an example because I don't like him. Listen to me, Brother Bob. You better not get so wrapped up in Hattie's that you've got no time for the Lord. Let me lay that one on you. You better not get so wrapped up in the ministry that you forget your personal relationship with God. Wrap your head around that. I know preachers that work 95 and 100 hours a week and don't take time to read their Bible. Why? Because they're working. See, your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that He's given you is more important than all the rest. All of it. You've got to have a relationship with Him. You've got to have it. You've got to have that comforter. Why? It's amazing that He calls it a comforter, yet we go so often without comfort. Come on, help me now. I'm trying to help you to think a little bit here. We go day after day after day comfortless. And yet God has given us the comforter. Do you know why we're uncomfortable? Because we don't spend any time with the one that can give us comfort. And by the way, you can be in good things. You can be doing the right things. I'm not saying you're not doing the right things. What I'm saying is there's a better thing than the right thing. You better tell my sister she needs to help me serve. The Lord says, oh no, you leave her alone. She has taken the good part. And that's loving me. Chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you what? I love that. The testimony of God. I've never one time bragged to you about being intelligent, about being a smart guy, about giving you my own wisdom. I don't care a lick about that. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher would stand up here and pontificate to you out of his own fleshly wisdom and never open up the Word of God. I don't come to you telling you what I know. You tell me I'm doing that. You know I'm not that smart. And I often tell you how I would rather remain stupid. This is what Paul is saying. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. I have none of those in and of myself. Look at what he says. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. And how many preachers go to the pulpit day after day and they don't even realize what they're reading to the people is not the Word of God? Here we go. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You mean Paul had those things? Well, sure, he was a sinner. Good Lord have mercy, he was a sinner. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's good enough for me. I'll just preach like Paul. Think about that for a minute. He didn't care if it tickled their ears. They had to have truth. But in demonstration, hold on now. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And if you don't have both, you have neither. See, you can't preach about the Spirit and not have that power, and you can't have power without preaching about the Spirit, without having the Spirit with you. If a preacher comes up here and doesn't have the Spirit of God with him, he's worthless. He's blowing air. He's worthless. If he doesn't have the Spirit of God with him, and let me tell you something, Christian, you're no different in your life than a preacher that comes up that doesn't have that Spirit with him. If you want to walk your Christian life with power, by the way, that power is not just given to the preachers. That power is not just given to the deacons. That power is not just given to the pillars of the faith in your church. That power is given to every one of you. But we don't even know what it is anymore. You may have thought 2 weeks ago this church was cracked. All these people weeping and going forward, weeping. Oh my goodness, I can't believe those people are going forward. My question is, why weren't you? Good Lord, have mercy. I wonder when we're going to let the Holy Spirit do something in us. Wouldn't you, I can't believe I'm asking this question. Wouldn't you love to have the Spirit of God and His power coming through you? You do realize that's not a charismatic term. That's not, Ernest Angley does not have any more of the Spirit of God in him than I have the spirit of a dog in me. Don't even think for 1 minute that these charismatic preachers, they use the words, but they don't even know what it means. The Spirit of God and the power that it comes with is for the saved people. And if you're one, you have access to it. People get afraid. They get afraid of preaching about that Holy Spirit. You're going charismatic on us, brother. I am not. I'm going Bible. Read what the Bible says. Why don't we witness to anybody? Why don't we tell anybody about the Lord? Why is nobody getting saved? Why is nobody getting baptized? When's the last time you had the Spirit and the power working through you? Well, I don't know what to say. Do you know that the Bible tells us? I don't know where the verse is. But do you know the Bible tells us that you just go, the Holy Ghost will speak through you. So what's our excuse? I'll use me. I don't do... Come on now. I don't witness to everybody I see. Where's my heart at? Huh? I don't ever give something to you without using me as an example, because I am a very easy example to use. When am I going to allow the Spirit of God and His power to come through me and tell somebody about Him? He's given me the words, right? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Not what I have to say. Don't go in thinking, I've got nothing good to say. You're right. Use this. And then that Spirit and that power that the Spirit brings can work through you. Look at this. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. This is some of the most powerful scriptures you're ever going to read. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. By the way, that hidden mystery is the mystery of salvation. And by the way, that's still a mystery. If you can figure out why God died for you, then that's you got the mystery, and I don't understand it. Oh, I know He loved you, but why would He love the unlovely? That's not, if you think that's earthly wisdom, there's no way that's earthly wisdom, because none of you would die for anybody. scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Look at this now. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, your heart thing, continue to read, shall we? But God hath revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth what? All things, yea, the deep things of God. The first job of the Holy Spirit is to search the deep things of God. The Spirit searcheth. That's his job. That's one of the works of the Spirit. Why, when you, and it talks a little bit later here about being spiritually discerned, and I've got to stop. This is just the first mouthwaterer. The Spirit that resides inside of you is constantly in search of the deep things of God. I'll give you an example. What is a deep thing of God? I'll tell you a deep thing of God. Justification. Deep. That is a deep thing of God. Justification. If I came to you and asked you, what is justification? Thankfully, because we've had the Romans class and the preacher talks about it a lot, you may know what justification is. Justification, the doctrine of justification, is just as if you've never sinned. That's deep. That is a deep thing of God. Sanctification, being set apart, that is a deep thing of God. The Spirit searches those out. You don't know a thing about it until the Spirit lets you in on it. The deep things of God. Why in the adoption? Do you know what that means? We are adopted through Jesus Christ's death. Jesus signed the adoption papers for us by dying on the cross and making us joint heirs with him. Woohoo! That's a deep thing of God that the Spirit reveals to you. That Spirit working inside of you. And what happens is this. We get so sidetracked with what the world has to tell us. We get so sidetracked about, oh, well, evolution must be real. How is it possible when the Bible tells us that God created the world? That Spirit will tell you it's wrong what they're trying to teach you. And here we are. I'm all done. Here we are. Why is my Christianity not getting better? Why have I reached a plateau? Why? You're not letting that Spirit and that power come through you. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're resisting the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we've stopped growing. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, we've got a lot more ground to cover here. And Lord, I'm asking you for me. Oh God, I need you so badly, more than I've ever needed to before. God, there's so many things going on, Lord, but all of those things should be irrelevant compared to searching you out and having that Spirit speak inside of me, Lord. And in this world, and independent fundamental Baptists have quenched the Spirit of God because they're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to investigate it. They're worried they'd be labeled as a charismatic. And Lord God, I'm telling you, you've got that Spirit for your people. Let us partake of that Spirit. Let us partake of its power. Let us partake of its teaching. Oh God, we need you more today than we've ever needed you before to speak to us and speak through us. And God, let us allow it. And Lord, please be with my pastor today. Oh God, we need to hear from you today. I'm so thankful he's here. I'm so thankful he's strong enough to stand behind his pulpit. Lord, don't let it stop now. Let him be able to preach all the way through until the rapture comes. And Lord God, let our hearts be open to it. Let the Spirit come down and move in a special way today. Let that Spirit not be something that we talk about that happened 2 weeks ago, but let it be something that we talk about every week. Lord God, help us to seek you out. Oh God, please have your will and way in the service today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.